Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I've been thinking about happiness. Are we happy as Christians? I mean, I talk to a lot of people and a lot of Christians, and a lot of people aren't happy. They're not happy with maybe circumstances, with their maybe with where they are in their career, or they're not happy with the economy. They're not happy with maybe political people who they don't necessarily like. They're not happy with the way the state of the world. And then I was watching the game last night, and the emotions that you go through, right? The happiness when they're winning, the happiness that you then you see them losing, and you start to feel, and it's how the world makes us feel. Our joy, our happiness is always moving, always, it's always changing. And I started to think, am I happy? And what does it mean to be happy? And also some of the verses the songs we sang this morning, a lot of those songs had the word joy in it. And it made me think about joy, made me think about scriptures that talk about joy and how we can have joy. And the one that came up to me was in Habakkuk chapter 3. And it made me think about, does the Lord want us to be happy? And this is a scripture in verse 17. And it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. So this scripture here is basically saying that joy should not be rest in these physical items or anything of this world. And I just want to lay out that foundation of it. And so the fig tree in scripture, they have many instances of the fig tree. But I want to quote Micah chapter 4 and verse 4, where it talks about the fig tree. And the fig tree talks about nourishment, right? It talks about nourishment. And so even if you have no physical nourishment in this world, and you're destitute, you're hungry, even if it doesn't blossom, the fig tree doesn't blossom, even the fruit be on the vines, and we know that what comes from vines is grapes, and we can turn that into application of joy or gladness. Even if this world doesn't give you any happiness, any gladness, even if the labor of the olive may fail. So back in those days, they used that oil, the olive oil and the oil to sell those things. I'm thinking of that scripture with the widow when they filled up the containers of oil, right? And they filled it up, right? And they used that to sell the oil, right? So even if you have no sustenance, even if you have no fruit or anything in this world, that you can still know, and he said, even if the fields yield no food, you can still know that the Lord is a constant through these things. And so the world wants to make you to rest your joy in these items, right? And we can start to feel good about these items. And so I know a gentleman, he's very wealthy. He's actually a billionaire. And his wife passed away maybe about a year and a half ago. And he's told me, he said, I would pay any amount of money to hear her voice again, just to be with her again. And to think that many people would look at him and say, well, he has everything that the world wants, right? He's wealthy, he has all his wealth, he owns all these buildings, he does all these things, right? But he couldn't find any joy in this world without his wife. And it made me think about what brings happiness to people. What makes us happy? Something that somebody may be yearning for or killing yourself for, that person, it doesn't mean anything to that person, right? And it just makes me think that what is happiness? What is joy? And he's saying here that he can rejoice in the Lord. I would joy in the God of my salvation. Even if all these things are not there, we have a constant that we can have joy in the Lord. But also in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 for connection. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not mourn, do not weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so Nehemiah and those people looked around, and they saw all the ruins, they saw everything, they saw all the, I would say, depression. And look around, you see all the ruin, you see all the things that happen, right? And you look around and you say, well, what is there to look at, right? What is there to think? But he's pointing them, saying, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we could look at each other, we could look at the things of this world, and we could see ruin, we could see things that are not great. But don't look for the world to be your source of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Is that, how can it be your strength? And I'm going to get into that, because we heard about it being, you know, in these times of things, you shouldn't look at the world, you shouldn't look at the world for sustenance. But how can the joy be your strength? And the Lord is showing us from his own son. God is showing us through his own son. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ did it himself, right? He went through a scene here. He walked through this world, and people did bad things to him. People treated him in a way that was really bad, right? They gave him no place to lay his head. They did things to him that any human being, a natural human being, would have said, well, you know what? Forget about them. They don't like me, so I'm not going to do that. But he had a joy that was set before him. He had a joy that was set for him. He despised the shame. He despised all those things, and he went to the cross. And that's our example. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ, is that all these things in life are temporary. The things that the money we make at our jobs, the houses we have, everything else that may bring us joy. Even we look at the Knicks who won the championship last night. It's temporary. The Oklahoma City won last year. Their joy is not going today, because they're looking back and say, well, we didn't win this year. That joy is temporary. That joy is temporary. And it just, look at the elation that they had. They worked their whole career for this, and it's only going to last for a moment, right? It's only going to last for a moment. The joy of the Lord lasts forever. We have a joy not only now, presently, but we have a joy that we can look forward to. And that joy is not predicated from anything in this world. That joy is in us. How is that in us? In Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. It's only produced by the Holy Spirit. So, and that's a lasting joy. And I want to go into a couple of scriptures where the Lord talked about joy, so we can understand how the joy is produced and how we can stay in that joy. Let's turn to John 15. It says, verse 10. Well, let's read verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So, how do we get this joy? The Lord says here that we abide in him. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to spend time with him, to have your dwelling place in with him. It's to have a full dependence on him. If you're not happy as a Christian, if you don't have joy, I guarantee you're not spending time with the Lord. Because if you spend time with him, he says that if you abide with me, these things I've spoken, that your joy may remain in you. My joy. He's giving us his joy. It's not a joy or a certain joy or the world's joy. He's given us his joy. And I know that the Lord cares about joy. His first miracle in John chapter 2 was about joy. It was almost like a parable about joy, right? You know what I'm saying? Because what he did, he turned water into wine. He was trying to tell us that the world's joy doesn't last. What happened at that wedding was they had drank up all the wine, right? And there was nothing left, right? And he came and he turned that water into wine. And they said that this wine was better than the wine that was before. And what he was trying to tell us is that the world has no lasting joy. It will run out. And his joy that he gives us will last. But not only that it will last, it will be better than you think that the world has. That the world, the joy that the world has. And the Bible does say that the joy that the world has is pleasurable. But it's only pleasurable for a season. The pleasure of sin is for a season. It doesn't last. And that's the trick that the enemy always tries to pull on us, is that this joy will last. But what happened? You always have to, it's like a drug, right? You always have to get the next high, right? You always have to figure out what's the next thing, what's going to bring me joy, right? And so that's why you see men who are millionaires, they want to be billionaires. The men who are billionaires, they want to be trillionaires. You know what I'm saying? It's never enough because the happiness, they realize the void is still there. The void is still there. The only thing that can bring you joy, lasting joy, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, my joy remain in you. He's given us his joy and he's putting us in it. He's putting it in us by his Holy Spirit. And he doesn't only want to give us joy, but he said that your joy may be full. This word full, it means that to like you have no more capacity, right? He doesn't, see the world wants to give you joy, but it only wants to give you a taste. He wants your joy to be full. He wants you to give you, he wants to give you joy that it's like, you're just like, wow, yeah, you just can't get enough. And that's how the word of God is that as you read it more and more, you realize the capacity to take it in, the capacity to understand, the capacity to have your joy, it becomes more and more full. He wants to fill you to capacity. So that's one of the ways that you can have joy, is by abiding in the Lord, is by spending time with him, by enjoying his presence, and that you'll have that joy. But in John chapter 16, he gives us another attribute. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here. We'll read verse 20. It says, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And so here, he doesn't say that as a Christian, you'll never have any sorrow. He doesn't say that you'll never have any pain. And that's another thing we're not going to lie and say, that as a Christian, you're not going to go through times of pain, times of sorrow, times of, you know, there's going to be times when you go through things that will shake your whole being, right? But he's saying that that pain is temporary. There's an expiration tag on pain and on sorrow as a Christian, because we always know there's something better, right? And so we can be encouraged that he's basically bringing that analogy as a woman with child. And those of us who have seen a woman give birth, well, I fainted a couple of times, but I mean, I was there for part of it. But I mean, I would say that you see that sorrow and that pain, right? But then when after you see the baby, you see it, you forget about everything that just happened. You know what I'm saying? And so he's trying to tell us that, look, there's something better for us. There's something better for us. Don't worry about all these things. That there's a greater thing coming. And so we can always look forward to that as Christians, is that we don't have to worry about the power of sorrow and the pain and the things that we're going through now. We have a joy to look forward to. And he's saying that joy no one could take from you. And to me, I love that saying, no one could take from you. Because the world could take your joy, right? If you have your joy in a job, they can fire you. You have a joy in your money, you can go bankrupt. You have your joy in your house, it could burn down. Your car, where it can be taken away from you. But this joy, it says that I will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. No one could take this joy from us. This joy lives within us. He gives us his joy, and it's the Holy Spirit. And he's saying that no one could take this joy from us. Once you're saved forever, right? And so people try to tell you, oh, well, you know, this happened. He's saying that no, his joy is a lasting joy. It's not like the world. And then we go down in verse, same chapter, Verse 24. So he tells us how we can get his joy also. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So he's given us another way how we can have joy. So we know that's spending time with him. That's reading his word. That's meditating on his scriptures, immersing yourself on it, in it. But then also he's saying through prayer. That's another way that you can have joy. He says, ask and you receive, that your joy may be full. Another way that our joy can be full. And so sometimes we want to do things on our own. We're humans, right? We want to do things as a child. The first thing is that the child wants to get up and start walking and doing things on his own, right? You know, and sometimes you see the baby trying to step, and then the mother or father try to think, and they brush them off. They want to do it on their own. And he's saying that you can't do it on your own. You have to ask and you receive. It's dependence on him. When you have full dependence on him, it's going to him in prayer and saying, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need your help. Lord, it's going to him in every hour, that full dependence. It gives you that joy. It gives you that trust to know that your trust is built on him. Your trust is not built on anything in this world. And so that's why your joy can be full, is that if you start to trust in these things, your joy will go up and down, right? Because as these things move, as these things think, you say, oh, I'm not happy today. Oh, I'm happy today. And you'll see how your things will move. But if you have it where your full dependence on the Lord, your joy is not dependent on anything in this world. You go to him and you know him, he will provide for you. He will take care of you. And so that's a beautiful picture that we can have, is that how we can have joy. Well, first, before we even go there, first thing we have joy is that you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, because you can't have the Holy Spirit without knowing him as your Lord and Savior. So if you have the Holy Spirit, he's giving you his joy. He's saying that you can have that joy within you, right? Then the next thing he's saying, that abide in him, spend time with him, read the word of God, meditate on it, and think. And as you meditate on him, you see that your demeaning will change, your outlook on life will change, your whole aura about you will change, right? And then the next thing is that he wants you to be dependent on him. And so he wants you to go to him, and he says that again, your joy may be full. So again, this joy may be full is he's given us the capacity to be full. We're not full because we don't go to him, right? And so he's saying that you come to me, you abide in me, and your joy will be full. I can fill you up with my joy. And I want to encourage us with that. And then John 17:13. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, this was his prayer. But he could have whispered this prayer. He could have said this prayer in his heart. But he wanted us to hear it, because that was his desire. And the Lord wants us to know that his desire for us is that his joy may be fulfilled in us. And it made me think about everything that's going on today, everything that's going on about happiness, about joy. And it made me think about all these different scriptures, and it made me wonder, am I happy as a Christian? Am I having joy as a Christian? When am I exuding to people, or when I talk to people, am I letting them see that my joy is anchored to this world? Am I letting them see that my joy is anchored to the possessions I have, the things I have, or things of that nature? Or is my joy anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my joy exuding from the Holy Spirit within me? He's giving that fruit of the Spirit. And so I just wanted to bring out these couple of verses. I won't be long. I just wanted to bring out these couple of verses to encourage us that don't let the world fool you that these things of joy are predicated on the things of this world. We could bring many instances. The instance I have with Samson in Judges. And he always looked for things to make him happy. He says, this woman pleases me, right? He always looked for things, and we see where he ended up. First thing he was in a place where he shouldn't have been. The Bible says that he was in the vineyards. And the vineyards is a place where we know wine is made and things is made. And he was a Nazarite. He wasn't supposed to have any strong drink. He wasn't supposed to be in a place of that place. And that's where he ended up being. And we see the downward turn of what he did, right? He ended up in the vineyard, and he did many great things, right? But we see what happened was when he was on Delilah's lap multiple times. And I just think the first time I wouldn't have been there, right? Well, the second time, well, okay. The third time is that you see that's what sin does. That's what the pleasure of sin does. That's what it does. It makes you, lulls you to sleep. It lulls you to sleep and takes your strength. But let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let us find our strength in the Lord. Let us find our strength in his joy. Let us look for another, it's not a scripture that's coming to me now, is in Psalms chapter 30. It says, I think it says, the joy cometh in the morning. You know what I'm saying? It means that, you know, weeping lasts for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Is that, that's another scripture that we can hold on to, is that we know that there's times of sorrow, there's times of pain, there's times of thing, but we can always look forward to a coming day, that these things that we go through, that joy is coming. Joy is always coming. Joy is always coming. But joy is within us now, but we know there's a coming joy that's coming for us too. And so I just want to encourage us with these couple things as you go through your week, that don't let the world determine your happiness or your joy. Spend time with the Lord. It says that, he says, spend time with him. Ask and receive. Pray. Spend time with him. And you'll see that your joy will change. And look, I can always be appreciative of, and I don't want to go too much to the game or anything that was happening, but I use that as an example, is that you saw one team, you could see they got up on the high and the lows. Like when it was low, you could see their emotions were waving every place, right? You saw one team, and every time the emotions were getting to them. Every time they were up, they were up. And they were down, they were down. But in one team, you could see that they were even keeled, that they didn't let the emotions and thing of what the game was dictate their actions. And that's what we have to be as Christians. We can't let the world dictate our actions. We have to let the joy of the Lord, the strength that he gives us, this Holy Spirit that he gives us, let that be the determining factor in your life. And I just want to encourage us with these words. For his name's sake, amen.
Amen.